Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. Who would have ever thought that we'd see a day when an American president, former president, would be facing a series of criminal trials? And I know the Donald Trump fans in this country are going to get upset with me for saying that, because they're going to say, Roy, what you're doing is you're just feeding the Democrats' narrative. I'm not. I'm not feeding anybody's narrative. But if you can think back to any time in your life where you thought it could happen, that a former president of the United States would be facing criminal charges, the kind of collusion that would have to be taking place, I know you think it is. But let's talk about this with someone who knows about white-collar crime, who knows about how the justice system works in the United States. He's seen it from both sides, as a federal prosecutor and as a defense attorney. But just to set the scene here for a few seconds, Donald Trump's criminal trial concerning payments made to adult film performer, I don't know what to call them, Stormy Daniels, begins Monday with opening statements. Three more trials to come, of course. Also this week, Mr. Trump was removed from Bloomberg's billionaire index. That's got to hurt. Stock in his Trump media company plunged, and he couldn't meet the wealth valuation to be on the Bloomberg Billionaires Index any longer. And from what I understand, the New York Attorney General, who does not like Mr. Trump quite clearly, is seeking to overturn the $175 million bond the court ordered Donald Trump to pay in regard to the $475 million civil judgment against him. Joshua Naftalis is a partner and criminal lawyer with Palace Partners LLP in New York City. Mr. Naftalis represents companies, boards, and executives in white-collar criminal defense. He's a former federal prosecutor who led many of the United States' most significant white-collar prosecutions. Mr. Naftalis, thank you very much for taking the time. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Roy. Good to hear from you.
Did you think you would ever see the day where a man who was president of the United States would be facing not one, but multiple criminal trials?
No, I mean, this is historic in so many ways. I mean, there was obviously Watergate, but it never got that far. And now we have, as you said, a trial starting Monday and potentially three more to come. So it's not something that, you know, anybody wants, but it is where we are. It is where we are right now.
So explain to us, please, what the charges that Donald Trump is facing over Stormy Daniels and the so-called hush money. I've talked to a lot of people, including two in Europe over the last couple of days, who said, "Really, that's a criminal charge?" So he had a dalliance with a porn star. That's a criminal charge. What exactly is the charge, Mr. Naftalis?
So the charges are effectively making false statements on various documents in New York State, which is why there are 30-something charges, and they all relate to sort of failure to disclose and misrepresenting what the payments were, and they're about as simple as they get for what is a sort of a very complicated and messy story.
Okay, so if you're the prosecutor, how are you moving on this case? If you're prosecuting Donald Trump, the former president and possibly future president of the United States, how do you move on this case? What do you do?
You keep your eye on the ball. The government often says when they're in the middle of a trial, the evidence is coming in well. Let's just keep putting it in day after day. And I think what they're going to try to do is not get distracted by Mr. Trump's efforts to delay the trial, which have failed, the various motions he's going to make accusing people of misconduct or accusing the judge of, you know, or his sister or whatever the allegations are. They're just going to try to put the evidence in day after day. And at the end of the case, tell the jury, listen, you heard it. It's straightforward. It's not complicated. He's guilty. And that's what any prosecutor would do here. They're not going to sort of fall for the distractions that Mr. Trump is trying to put up. You know, and to be fair, that's what a lot of defendants do. This is just sort of another level of distraction.
And that would not be intimidating to the court, to the prosecutors. I know Mr. Trump is playing to playing to his base, but what he's saying, what he's doing, is not distracting to the prosecution or the judge. They just move forward.
Now, I think that it's distracting them, that it's taking their time. But in the end, they know that they have the evidence that they want to put in, and they're going to just go in day by day and do it. Now, it's frustrating for the prosecution. It's frustrating the judge when a defendant is sort of violating a gag order, asking for adjournments, or making various allegations. But that doesn't mean that the judge or the prosecutors don't know what they're going to do the next day, which is, okay, there's going to be a trial on Monday, and Mr. Trump's going to have to be prepared for it.
So now, if you're the DA, the defense attorney, and if you're representing Mr. Trump, and you're talking to him before they go to court, before you go to court with him, and what do you say to him? How do you move forward? How do you prepare a defense for Donald Trump when you don't know what he's going to do next?
I think it's hard. I think Donald Trump has some great lawyers. They're friends of mine who I used to work with. At the U.S. Attorney's Office, they're going to try to try the case fairly. They may have a client that's difficult to control, as you're referring to, and they also have to do to a certain extent what Mr. Trump wants as a matter of strategy. But I think what they're going to try to do is find that one juror, which is all you need in a criminal case, who doesn't want to convict Donald Trump, whether it's because the evidence isn't there, or they're confused, or they don't like the nature of this case, which is, it seems somewhat technical to some people. And they're going to try to just really find that one juror and get them to hang the jury. I think that's what they're going for. I don't think any juror or any lawyer here thinks you're going to get the jury to really acquit him and find 12 jurors to say not guilty. They're looking for one who will say, I'm not willing to convict the former president.
Okay. Now, Mr. Trump has said that he's going to testify, or he's intimated, if he hasn't said it. I think he said it. And Mr. Trump's lawyers, your friends and former colleagues, they don't want him questioned about past legal issues if he does testify. What do you expect on that score?
That's a great question, Roy. My expectation is that the civil, really what I think we were referring to is the civil cases that are going on with the New York Attorney General. And he had another case in the Southern District of New York, both civil cases. Those are generally inadmissible in a criminal trial. If he testifies, that's another story. But if he doesn't testify, those issues really shouldn't come in as evidence. Now, if he testifies, there's an argument that those speak to his tendency to, not tell the truth, and they may be admissible. Because the New York Attorney General one, of course, a fraud case. My gut is that they don't come in the end, because there's a certain amount of prejudice and there's a certain amount of wasting of time that may tilt the balance against those issues coming in. But I think it is a close call, and I think it's very dangerous for both sides whether it comes in. It could create an issue on appeal for the government, for the people of New York, the prosecutors. And obviously, if it comes in, it's not great for Mr. Trump.
So this is a criminal trial. It's not a civil trial like the other one was. Can you see? I mean, they have to treat it the way they treat any criminal trial, I would think. It doesn't matter that he's the former president, or maybe that plays into it somehow. But can you see a potential prison sentence?
Oh, yeah. I think, for sure. I mean, I think if he is convicted, I think he will get a prison sentence. I don't know how long it will be, but I think it would be hard for the prosecutors not to ask for one, having gone this far. Obviously, that's the goal of this, is to convict him and put him in jail. And I don't see a judge where you have what are really serious charges. Some people don't think it's the sexiest case out there, but it's about as serious as it gets when you get down to it. That if a president is paying hush money payments in advance of a presidential election, that doesn't result in jail time. So I think if there's a conviction, there will be a jail term.
Can't imagine what that would do to American society.
It's not great, as you know, as an American speaking to a Canadian, but it would be even worse if the president gets treated different than anybody else. So it shouldn't matter that he's the president when the judge is imposing sentence if there's a conviction.
No, I get that. So the question I do have to ask as well, because if I don't, I'll be getting emails from listeners saying, why didn't you ask? It's talked about a lot in this country, when, of course, what's happening with Mr. Trump. And there's quite a few people who believe that the New York Attorney General really has it in for Donald Trump, that it's a personal thing, not just objective, not just following the law. What's your thinking on that?
You know, as a former prosecutor, I really have a hard time buying into that narrative. I think that Letitia James and any prosecutor is doing their job. They're not doing it because it's personal. They're not doing it because it's political. They're doing it because that's where the facts take them. And the facts of the Attorney General's case are what they are, which is, he was lying to his lenders, getting loans for less. He may not like the fact that someone figured that out, that he was convicted of it or found liable, but I don't think it's personal. Now, this is part of the narrative, I think, that we often see from Mr. Trump, which is that the case is brought because it's political or because someone's out for him. Which is a perfectly fair argument to make, but that doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah. When do you expect this trial to wrap up? When do you expect a verdict?
So I thought the jury selection, I thought, was going to take much more time, just a couple of days. I think it was 3 days in all. I would imagine this is a few weeks for a trial. The faster the government, the prosecutors can try this case, the better. It avoids the distraction of the jurors. You want the jurors to be focused, get the evidence they need, and get them back in the jury room to convict if you're the prosecutors. So I think this is, we're coming on late April, so early May, mid-May is when this should all wrap up.
With the sentence, if he's guilty.
That's hard for me to predict. It all depends, obviously, of what the jury finds, how many counts, obviously it's up to the judge in the end.
I do have one more question for you. If the defense is able to seat a juror who may wind up saying, I don't know, I can't convict him, because that's the way the question is being phrased these days. If there's a juror that says, no, I can't convict him, I can't acquit him, I just don't know, I can't go with either. So you have a hung jury. What happens after that?
I think if there's a hung jury, Alvin Bragg, who's the DA, has the decision as to whether he will retry the case. And I think he sort of has to retry the case. It's too important of a case to say, the jury hung. It's not worth the resources to do it again. There obviously have been a lot of resources put into this case. It's historic, as you referenced. It's an important case to the city of New York. But I think there would be a retrial there.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.